Donald Trump has won a landslide victory in the electoral process, and also carrying the Senate, the House, as well as the Electoral College and the popular vote. The U.S. has warned Iran not to strike Israel again with ballistic missiles, and Israel has increased aid into Gaza to meet U.S. demands by November 13th. Netanyahu has fired the IDF Defense Minister Gallant and replaced him. The U.S. has moved additional military units into the Middle East. Messianic World Update begins now. Shalom, everyone. I'm Monty Judah with Lion and Lamb Ministries. Welcome to another edition of Messianic World Update. Today's date is Friday, November the 8th of the year 2024, and here's for the news for the week. Of course, the biggest news here in the United States is the U.S. elections were held this last Tuesday, and while many were wondering which way it was going to go, it was a big toss-up. It turns out it was a landslide victory for Donald Trump and the Republicans. Not only did he sweep the Electoral College and all of the swing states, but he also won the popular vote for the entire nation. The Republicans were able to gain seats in the Senate and took control of the Senate. And as I speak, we still are looking for the final results on the House of Representatives, but it appears the Republicans are going to retain control of the House. That means the Republicans now have the presidency, the Senate, and the House, and hopefully President Trump will be able to carry out his agenda through the Congress as a result of those wins. As you can imagine, the U.S. Democrats and the liberals are into a meltdown at the moment. Not quite sure what in the world happened to them, but obviously their message did not carry with the U.S. citizenry and all of the U.S. voters. I heard one commentary on it. I'm sure you're going to hear lots of commentary in the remaining days, but one commentary really stood out to me, and I think it had a lot of merit to it. And they said that it wasn't a Republican victory and it wasn't a Democratic loss. It was a common sense victory for the American people. And that pretty well describes what I think the American people were trying to say in the election. The real question is, at this point, between now and January 20th, when Trump will take the office of president and the new Congress will be coming in, we still have a Biden administration. We still have the Democratic elements in charge. There's still a lot of things they can do in the next 70 days, and we'll just have to continue to watch, particularly on how they deal with Israel. One of the questions, obviously, with the Trump win is how is that going to impact the U.S. relationship with Israel? And Donald Trump came out very quickly, made the following statement that he wants all the wars that Israel is involved with to end as quickly as possible. However, he put the caveat, he wants Israel to have decisive victories in each case. That sounds to me like that is full support for Israel to bring those wars to a conclusion, which I think is what Netanyahu wants to do as well. And that would be good for the whole world to bring those wars to a conclusion, not necessarily with just a ceasefire, but bring them to a real conclusion so that there's no more fighting. So what's the impact on Iran? Because they're the next ones that are most concerned about a Trump victory. As soon as the election results came in, Khomeini, the leader of Iran, called for a Supreme Council meeting. This is the expert committee, and they brought in 88 of their top leaders of the nation to sit and talk about this. And I think the reason why they did was because they know that Donald Trump is going to come back as soon as he's president and put in place those sanctions that he used to have on Iran that Joe Biden released them from. And that's what's referred to as his massive pressure campaign. And the massive pressure campaign is to choke down Iran, not only economically, but interfere with all their shipment of weapons, their sponsorship of terrorist groups, and put the hurt to them as a nation. They know that's coming when Donald Trump becomes president. Obviously, Donald Trump is going to be siding with Israel against Iran, and so they know that the strategy to separate U.S. support from Israel has not worked at all. So what's the impact on the Europeans with Donald Trump coming in? Down at the lower level, at the citizen level, I think there's reports that say the European citizens are pleased to hear that Donald Trump is coming back. They're hoping that he can bring stability again back to the whole world, particularly those things affecting Europeans. However, I think the European political leadership is not that happy with it. One of the things that we know that is probably going to happen is Trump is not going to be in support of the International Criminal Court, which is trying to issue arrest warrants for Netanyahu and other leaders in Israel. He's probably going to put the kibosh on all of that and stop that nonsense. And he's probably also going to have a much stronger stance in the UN and making sure the UN does not move against Israel and push them back from any of those resolutions that they may have going against Israel. Now, before the election we had on Tuesday, Biden sent a message to Iran. And the reason he did was because Iran, Khomeini, after the Israelis had hit them very hard, by the way, taken out all their air defense system and hit several targets, very strategic targets within Iran, to appease the IRGC, we've got to do something back against Israel. We've got to do something. So Khomeini said that we're going to attack again, and we're going to hit a massive barrage of missiles and drones, and we'll pick the time and place when we're going to do it. But the word was that Iran was threatening to attack again. Now, the U.S. came back and said, we advise that you not do that. And the reason is that the United States will not be able to restrain Israel this time. And if you'll recall, all attacks of late in the last year, the U.S. has been holding Israel back from all of their warfare targets, their strategy, and so forth, trying to have them do less and less in a very measured response. And in fact, the last attack that Israel made on Iran was a very measured attack only on military targets. And the U.S. is saying, we can't restrain Israel anymore. If you hit them one more time, then Israel's probably going to come over and hit any target they want, and it will cost you dearly in Iran. I don't know if that's caused Khomeini to take pause of his statement, but at the moment, nothing has happened yet. But that's the status as we speak this week. Now, Trump, as soon as he was elected, he sent a message out to Hamas, and he said, you better release those hostages prior to him taking office. Now, I'm not quite sure exactly what that means in terms of what could he do in the hostage crisis, but we know that Trump wants the Hamas war over with as quickly as possible, and he's already said he wants a decisive Israeli victory. There may be additional steps that Israel could take with Trump's support that could bring about the quick end to the Hamas war. We'll talk a little bit about what is Israel's strategy at the moment in Gaza, and it could be more of that, and I'll mention that to you in a few moments. The U.S. has threatened Israel, and of course, Biden's always been concerned about Gaza, about aid getting into Gaza's citizens, and the aid trucks that have been going in have been intercepted by Hamas. The stuff has been stolen and then sold on the black market. Israel said, all we're doing is resupplying Hamas. They stopped those aid trucks. Well, the United States said, no, you can't do that. You got to send the aid in. And they actually came and said, if you don't increase the aid trucks going into Gaza come November 13th, we're going to cut off military supplies to you, Israel. Well, I think Israel took that very seriously. They have increased the aid. Blinken has been over there to monitor it. It looks like at this point, Israel is going to comply with Biden's demand. And to add to that, Israel has been helping to facilitate polio vaccinations for Palestinian children in Gaza. There was a polio outbreak, and there are now more than 1 million Palestinian children in Gaza that have been vaccinated with the help of Israel. They've also just recently conducted medical evacuations for certain Palestinian citizens that need extensive and critical medical care. They've evacuated them out of Gaza, and they're sending them to other Arab countries, to their hospitals, so they can be treated. So all the humanitarian efforts on the part of Israel appeared to have gone above and beyond even what Biden was asking for. On Election Day, this last Tuesday, Netanyahu made a surprise announcement in the government of Israel. He fired the IDF Defense Minister Gallant. Now, Gallant had been in a series of conflicts with Netanyahu since the war started, and it had to do with the prosecution of the war, how to direct the IDF accordingly. From the very beginning of the war, Netanyahu had made a stated goal that it was the goal of Israel to defeat Hamas. Well, Gallant kept coming in and making disparaging comments like, you cannot defeat Hamas. And, you know, we'll have to get to some point where they still kind of remain. And Netanyahu is saying, no, I want them defeated. Send the IDF and defeat them. Gallant was saying, hey, we can't do it, we can't do it. And there had been earlier moments where Netanyahu actually thought about firing Gallant, but he didn't. And now at this point, we're not quite sure what was the straw that broke the camel's back, but Netanyahu pulled the trigger and Gallant has now been fired. And clearly, as Netanyahu stated it, is because Gallant has actually aided the enemy rather than defeating the enemy. So whatever that means. The new defense minister is Israel Katz, who was the foreign minister before. And the new foreign minister is a gentleman by the name of Gideon Sa'ar. And Gideon Sa'ar is a up-and-coming politician that I think we're going to hear his name more and more. And now that he's part of the coalition government along with Netanyahu, we may hear his name being mentioned in more occasions. And in particular, he's the guy that's going to be setting up the new relationship with Donald Trump and his foreign policies. We'll see how that all works out. I'm optimistic that some good things are going to happen between the U.S. and Israel with Donald Trump's foreign policy and with Gideon Sa'ar in the position as foreign minister of Israel. The U.S. has moved some B-52s into the Middle Eastern region, and plus they've announced they've sent in another big squadron of F-15 Strike Eagles. Now, what's noteworthy about that is that B-52s and these F-15 Strike Eagles, these are not defensive weapons. These are not weapons to go in and help Israel defend against an anti-missile defense. These are the kinds of weapons that go into Iran and attack ground targets in Iran. And that's a very serious firepower that's been brought into the region. Now, they've also approved the sale of Israel buying more F-15s. There's a special F-15 design just for the Israelis, and they've agreed to sell 25 more F-15s to Israel, and that will be coming up, delivery will be coming up in the next year. I'm not sure that all of you are aware of the fact, but the U.S. has a very interesting base right in the middle of the Indian Ocean. It's a little small place. They're in the middle of the Indian Ocean, a little bit on the southern side. It's called Diego Garcia. And Diego Garcia is a main base for U.S. Central Command of monitoring the entire Middle East. There's a lot of intel work there. There's a big air base there. And there's a good possibility those B-52s have been moved into that location. If that be so, then that gives those B-52s where they can go up and make a mission into the Middle East and return for refueling instead of having to fly halfway around the world back to other locations. And that makes them more available for missions in the Middle East. Bahrain is also another big U.S. military base in the Persian Gulf area. I don't know for certain, but I think maybe those F-15s have moved into there. That's where there's other Air Force assets and there's Air Force hangars, facilities, maintenance facilities there at that location. In any case, you've got new forces in the Persian Gulf area as well as new strategic forces in the region. Hezbollah is still firing rockets in the north and all this last week, and there's been a number of individuals in Israel that have been harmed. The IDF has responded with strategic airstrikes into Lebanon, hitting again other Hezbollah areas and taking out other Hezbollah leaders as well. Ground forces going into southern Lebanon have captured weapons caches. In fact, Israel has captured enough anti-tank weapons that Israel is actually toying with the idea of forming a new anti-tank unit using all of the captured ammunition. Apparently, they captured a tremendous amount of ammunition that Hezbollah had stockpiled. And so they may be forming a new unit because they have this surplus of weapons. Hezbollah's military has truly been weakened. The leadership has been hit. Their main forces have been hit. The southern Lebanon bases that they had set up, they've been taken. Their whole command structure, financial structure in Beirut has been destroyed. And Iranian support has been cut off from them. So they are definitely on their heels, if not completely on their back, in trying to deal with Israel. So let's talk about what's going on in Gaza, because there's still some stuff heating up. In the northern part of Gaza, the north one-third, there's a city up there called Jabalah, and there's about 150,000 civilians up there, and there's a bunch of Hamas terrorists in the area. Israel has been evacuating about 100,000 Palestinians out of the area. There's still some estimated 50,000 civilians in that area. And in the course of the last month, they've killed 1,000 Hamas terrorists up there. They believe there's still a remaining 500 to 600 of them remain in that area. All of the buildings up there are booby-trapped for when the IDF tries to go in. They have to be very careful. It's a very dangerous zone to go in. But Israel has developed what are called ghost units. And these units are, instead of having the big strategic weapons like the IDF airstrikes, which are reserved for in the north now, instead of big military forces, they have developed a smaller unit strategy, and they are now using a program, are you ready for this, called Iron Ball. Now we've had Iron Beam, we've had Iron Dome, now we have Iron Ball. And apparently that's a small drone that carries a grenade. And so when they find one of these holes where they think Hamas is hiding, one of their caves, this little drone flies over the top of the hole and drops a grenade in the hole. That way you don't have to send an IDF soldier in there to throw it in there. They can use the drones to do it. Plus they have other drones, surveillance drones that are over the top surveilling the entire area at all times. If any Hamas terrorist moves in any way, shape, or form and is visible, they are seen by the Israelis and they lay plans to go get them. They also are using the smaller mortars, precision mortars, and effectively what Israel is doing is laying siege to the entire area. Nothing goes in and nothing comes out. Civilians come out with their flags and they escort them out. But terrorists cannot get out, and they're waiting for them to surrender. At the moment, they're not surrendering. So Israel is step by step going in with these smaller units, these ghost units, and taking them out. My anticipation is that this whole campaign is probably going to be over with based on the progress that Israel has already made. And we'll hear a whole different story about what's going on in northern Gaza with regard to Hamas terrorists. Some other interesting news that we should take note of, given the conflict that's been going on for more than a year, Israel has arrested certain Israelis that they found spying for Iran. I know at first blush you can't believe that such a thing could be happening, but apparently with some young people that were taking pictures and monitoring Israeli units, they got caught and they've been arrested and they have confessed that they were spying for Iran and being paid money to do so. Iran, on the other hand, has arrested four Iranians claiming they were spying for Israel and they're about to be executed. So the spying back and forth is also part of this war that's going on in the conflict between Israel and Iran. Down south, U.S. aircraft and ships, U.S. Navy ships, have struck Houthi positions down in Yemen. If you'll recall, they've been launching rockets and missiles up into Israel. And so they hit them pretty powerfully up there, quite a bit of damage that was done to the Houthi positions. There is a rumor that the Houthis are getting ready to say, okay, we're going to calm down, we're going to leave Israel alone. We'll have to see if that really pans out or not. Hopefully the Houthis will stop hitting shipping that's going through the Red Sea and the Gulf of Aden, and we can open up the sea lanes again. But that situation is starting to move around and slow down. I think if Donald Trump comes in there, he's definitely going to put the kibosh on the Houthi rebels and definitely open those sea lanes again. Those are all future things that we're looking for. And if you just step back and reflect for a moment, there's a positive sense that has now come over the world, over Israel, for us, even here in the United States, where the world is changing on us. And it's as a result of the U.S. elections. We'll have to see if it continues to be positive. Now, some are going to probably think, well, does this delay the end of the age scenario where we're looking for the return of the Lord and the beginning of the great trib? Actually, the things that are happening right now could actually contribute to the end of the age events coming forward, because if the U.S. comes into a powerful position under Donald Trump, the enemies of the U.S. and Israel could take the position that they're backed into the corner and they might even consider doing even more desperate things, which would be a huge mistake. But by the way, deciding to battle against God and God's people is a mistake to begin with. So we'll see how it all pans out. My sense of optimism is for good things, but it doesn't necessarily change the final assessment of our role and our part in the final prophetic scenario. So with that, please pray for Israel. Pray for the remaining hostages that they'll be released and come home very soon. Pray for our own nation as we transition to a new government. And pray for our leaders, all of them, Democrats included. We all need to be unified, and hopefully we will be able to do it. Thank you for viewing this program. I want to encourage you to look into subscribing with lionandlamb.tv. There is a free level that you can subscribe to where you can get all our weekly broadcasts, namely this broadcast, Messianic World Update, each week. And you're able to avoid any of the hassles of the other social media programs where they may be interrupting our broadcast because they don't like something we have said along the way. The world is changing on us. So if you're going to get your news, you're going to have to be getting it because you went looking for it. So we encourage you to join us and our programs that we have here on the internet. Plus, if you join the rest of lionandlamb.tv, you can also get our other teaching programs. By the way, I have a new program coming out this month called A Time, Times, and Half a Time. If you're really interested in knowing about the prophecies of the Great Tribulation and how it starts and how it will end, I think you'll find that program to be very interesting. That's coming out this month, and encourage you to check into about that. Thank you again for viewing our program, and Shabbat Shalom to all of you.